I praise you and give you all the honor and glory for everything, and just ask that you be with us tonight as we look into thy word, and your will be done. In Jesus' name and for sake, amen. If you would turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. I told you last night I opened in prayer at the city council meeting, and that was real good. I did go up at the very end. I thanked them for the beautiful job they did on our sidewalks and the next sidewalks. I did meet another one of the county commissioners tonight, and we're going to try to push to go all the way down to the water or all the way down to the stop sign. Not that we need it so much, but I think it's important for the kids. And there's actually people in the neighborhood that have lived here 25 and 30 years. And they said, we're finally getting sidewalks. And, you know, the thing is that we still wouldn't have them if we didn't push for them. And then this morning I opened in the Chamber of Commerce, or the breakfast at the Chamber of Commerce. I opened in prayer. And that was pretty neat. You know, just have a lot of business people there. Had a couple of the churches there that don't come very often, but they were there too. So, Philippians chapter 2, we're in verse 15. We'll back up one verse to 15. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. So we look at lights in the world and being the light of the world, but we're going to look at verse 16 first. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Now, you wouldn't believe it, but the day of Christ, and I've taught this, but the day of Christ is one of the most important things you can understand. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, so if you hold your place here and go look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, when this verse is changed from day of Christ to the day of the Lord, that's why there's so much confusion on these verses right here. Let's look at the rapture in verse 1 of 2 Thessalonians 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the gathering together unto Him, that's the rapture of the church in verse 1, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, the day of Christ, shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed. So the only thing that has to happen is the falling away first, and then the man of sin is revealed later on, actually 3.5 years after the day of Christ. And there's a gap right there. There's a gap in verse 7 when the mystery of iniquity is destroyed in Jesus' second coming. But that day of Christ is changed to the day of Lord there. And if it's changed to the day of the Lord, we're going to see how problematic that is here in a moment. But the day of Christ there we saw in Philippians 2:16. Look back there. Holding forth the word of life that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run, past tense, I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. When your race is finished, your labor is done, that's the day of Christ or the rapture of the church. That's what that day will not come except there come a falling away first. There's going to be a great apostasy. And then 3.5 years later, that man of sin be revealed. But it didn't say the man of sin revealed first. First is very important where it is. Now, let's look at two other verses in Philippians. Philippians 1:6. Look there. The Bible says, being confident in of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Not the day of the Lord, but the day of Jesus Christ. We looked at 2:16. Now look at 1:10. Chapter 1, verse 10. The Bible says that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ. Sincere without offense until the rapture of the church, which is the day of Christ. Critically important to get those two separated. Now, when the day of Christ is changed to the day of the Lord, all of the prophecy teachers that have been preaching this for 20, 30, 50 years just get it all confused. It says that Elijah shall appear before the great day of the Lord. And if if you change the day of Christ to the day of the Lord, make the day of the Lord the rapture, then you've got Him showing up before that. It also says the sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before that great and terrible day of the Lord. Well, if the day of the Lord is the rapture, what do you think the church is doing but looking for blood moons? See, and then you got all these books sold, all these people fooled, all these people disillusioned on the day of the Lord because they're saying, well, wait a minute. Look, if the moon's turning to blood, we're in the last days. Jesus is coming back. He might come back like right away. Well, that was a couple of years ago. And they weren't blood moons. They were just moons on a Jewish feast day because they have a lunar calendar. Of course the moon's going to be full during a feast day that happens on the lunar calendar, and the lunar calendar goes by the moon. And so you've got all this stuff, and it's so frustrating because one of the things that got me in so much trouble is I would not change my position on the day of Christ. I said the day of Christ is not the rapture. I said the day of the Lord is when the Lord comes back at the second coming, sets His foot on this earth. That's the day of the Lord. And the day of the Lord is as 1,000 years in the which the heaven and the earth shall burn up. That's at the end of the 1,000 years. The day of the Lord is 1,000-year period on this earth. The day of Christ is going on up in heaven where we are after the rapture. So I want to show you a little bit more of the Lord before we move off of this subject. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 1. But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. He's not continuing the discussion of the rapture. He is now looking at the day of the Lord. Verse 2. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. So when you read that and you read other verses like 2 Peter 3:10, it talks about the day of the Lord as a thief also. The thief has nothing to do with the rapture of the church. Now, let me show you in the Old Testament where some other clarifying verses are. You'll turn to the book of Joel chapter 1. Joel chapter 1. And let's look at this thing on the day of the Lord and show you how there is no way whatsoever that the day that the rapture of the church, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, is the day of the Lord. Here's how you know for sure. In Joel 1, look at verse 15. Alas for the day. For the day of the Lord is at hand, as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. Sound like the rapture? Or does that sound like the second coming when He sends His angel to gather the elect and He destroys all of His enemies? That's what it sounds like. And I could go through so much, but look at chapter 2, verse 1. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm in my holy mount. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. Wait a minute. Tremble? Not at the rapture. We're gone too, by the way. He's talking about earth's dwelling, earth, you know, the people on earth. You don't, at the rapture of the church, we may disappear and nothing changes other than we're gone. Not immediately. Verse 2. What's the day of the Lord? A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong. There hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. And you could go through and read all of those, but look at verse 9. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall come upon the house. They shall enter in the windows like a what? Thief. What's the day of the Lord come like? A thief in the night. Over and over again. Verse 10. And the earth shall quake. Remember all the earthquakes in Revelation? Before them the heavens shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter His voice before His army. When does His army come back? Revelation 19, 11 and 14 talks about Jesus on a white horse. His army's behind Him. He's coming back to destroy all the unbelievers at the second coming, at the day of the Lord. And again, Well, let me read the rest of that verse 11. His army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? And listen, I could take you to later on, if you look at verse 30, Joel 2:30, I will show wonders in the heavens and the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. You know why everybody's looking for blood moons? And you won't be if they say it again. Because that verse right there, you know, the day of the Lord is not the rapture of the church. The day of the Lord is going to be his second coming, and 7 years of tribulation are going to precede that. And we're gone 7 years before the day of the Lord. I am so glad that I saw that and I learned that. Look at verse 32, because I think it's important because it matches Acts 2:21. Verse 32, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. In Acts 2:31, it says shall be saved. But it's Peter's preaching Joel, because there are certain things that could happen. You could keep going. Look at chapter 3, verse 14. Multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars withdraw their light shining. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion. That's not the rapture. And utter his voice from Jerusalem. The heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. Nothing to do with the church. Nothing to do with the rapture. So I wanted, because we had verse 16 there and it talked about the day of Christ, I wanted to spend some time differentiating between the two. Now go back to Joel chapter 2. We're going to change subjects here. In Joel chapter 2, verse 17 is also very exciting because it talks about your faith. How many of you heard about the faith of Jesus Christ? We hear about it all the time. I mean, you should. You're saved by the faith of Jesus Christ. You're kept by the faith of Jesus Christ. But that does not mean you don't have personal faith. One of the problems you have is that when people mention, don't you wish you could just shake it and it would stop? You know, that's what we need to do. We need to tell them. They need to, when it's ringing or something, you need to be able to go like this and it just stops. You're fine. And the only reason I'm saying it is because it's funny. I was going to let it go, but it went on a little bit longer. And it is so cute. Larry loves it. Yes. It's a beautiful sound to hear that voice. Verse 17. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with all. Now, I was going to do a lot of study on joy, and I think I didn't do it. I decided I wouldn't spend time on joy here, but I wrote two chapters, or we wrote two chapters in our devotional. I went through there and read that thing, and boy, it's in my devotion number one. It's a good study, but I want to focus on your faith, and I just want to give you a couple things. Yeah, let's look at the verses. Look at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, talking about faith. And we're going to look at verse 30. So we have faith versus something. In this case, we're going to have faith versus worry. Matthew 6, verse 30. The Bible says, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? So people worry and worry and worry. I don't worry. I mean, I'll have a moment. I'll have a couple of hours. I might have a day, but very rarely more than that. I just don't worry. And he's saying right there, he says, listen, God takes care he clothes the grass. Clothes the grass of the field, which today is tomorrow's cast in the oven. Shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? I mean, why worry? I mean, I get it. You look out there in the world, you go, man, this situation is terrible and it's getting worse. I mean, if you just look at the Second Amendment, which is important to us, and what they're doing in trying to figure out how they can't pass laws. So what do you got to do? Executive fiat, judicial tyranny, you know, whatever it is. And you just look at that and you go, wow, so they're going to come get our guns. I'm not that worried about it. I get it. And I see what they're doing, and I see it coming, but I'm not going to worry about it. What are you going to do? Well, first of all, you pray. Say, Lord, you know, I want to protect my family. Please show me how I can continue to do that, especially if the government is thinking that they need to disarm the citizenry because you got lunatics using weapons to kill people. All the more reason for law-abiding citizens to have guns. Now, that's logic. But why worry? Just don't worry. Be happy. Okay? Be happy. That's the best advice I can give you. Second one, we looked at Matthew. Now look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 26. This one is faith versus fear. Faith versus fear. Chapter 7, verse 26, the Bible, let me make sure, yep. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and a great fall, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as having authority and not as the scribes. So fear versus faith. I don't know if it really fits there. I think I got the wrong reference. Let me look at another 26. I just feel like I sometimes. It's chapter 8. Chapter 8. Let me make that change because I hate having the wrong reference. There we go. Chapter 8, verse 26. They're in the ship in verse 23. The waves are beating against it. He's asleep in verse 24. 25, his disciples came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. 26, and he saith unto them, why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose, rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And it doesn't say it, but he probably went back to sleep. Just as a matter of, let me use this as a teaching moment. So faith versus fear. If you and I spend our time worrying and being fretful, you cannot do the things that God wants you to do. If I spend my time worrying about my shadow behind me and, you know, how's somebody viewing me and how's the, you know, what's somebody thinking and what they're saying. And listen, I'm just telling you, you have to block all that out as a pastor. You have to block all that out as a mom. You have to block all that out as an employee, an employer, a husband, a wife. You can't spend all your time. And listen, my wife trusts me. I trust my wife implicitly. So I don't understand that. Now, you know, it wasn't always that way. When we first got married, she checked up on me, you know, and I'm semi-analytical. I can sense when I'm being checked up on. And I told her, I said, listen, don't you ever check up on me. Within 2 hours, total conviction from God. You know why I said that? Because I was innocent. But you know what God's let me know? You're innocent now, but she better check up on you in the future, because you may have a moment of weakness, and she checking up on you is what God wants done, because it may save you. It may be your way of escape. So God, it was that quick. I knew I was wrong. I apologized to her and I said, listen, you check up on me anytime you want. It was funny how I knew, and She would say, so if I'm there and I say, yeah, hello, and you know, I'd get ready to hang up. She's, you know, one of the parts was, well, I love you. And, you know, if a husband's in a bad situation, what he can't say, let's say he's cheating on his wife, I love you too. Oh, sorry. You know, you can't do that. So you know what I started doing after I told her that she could check on me anytime? We'd be hanging up, and I would just go, I love you too. And I'd say it first, and then she laughed every time. I mean, she laughed every time. It's not that I was funny. It was just she thought it was cute. But, you know, my point being also, look, you might think you might be in the same situation thinking I never need to be checked up on. Sure you do. Sure you do. We all need checks and balances. We all need accountability. So I thought when I first got married, I don't need accountability. I don't want to ruin my life, ruin my marriage, ruin my ministry, ruin my family at later on. But you better realize we're all susceptible to anything. So faith versus fear, faith versus worry. Another one is faith versus doubting. Look at Matthew 16. Matthew chapter 16. Verse 6. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets ye took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000, how many baskets ye took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees? Then understood they how he bade them beware of the leaven of bread, not the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. So faith versus doubting. You won't always understand God. You will not always understand God. But you need to learn how to understand him more today than you did yesterday. You need to learn, and I need to learn, how to understand him more and more and continue our spiritual growth. Because if we don't continue that spiritual growth, then we will stay stagnant, and stagnant is backslidden. If you're not moving forward, you're not in the will of God. If you're not in the race, and everybody has a race, you're not in the will of God. So you look at faith versus worry, fear versus faith, and faith versus doubting. I want you to look at Daniel chapter 3 for settled faith. Daniel chapter 3 for settled faith. And again, I could go on and on and on about all the different types of faith. I know we wrote on it quite a bit in our devotionals, but I'm not going to do that because you got to keep, you know, we're going to get through Philippians a lot faster than John. Daniel chapter 3, look at verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. That's it. We're not full of care. We're not worried about it. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. So God is able to deliver. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. So God is able, God will, because they knew that he was going to do that. But that wasn't why they were trusting in him. And that's what you have to understand. You're not to trust in God because he's going to take care of you. You need to trust in God that whether he takes care of you the way you think he should take care of you or not, you're still going to trust in him. And that's what the next verse is.
He will deliver us out of thine hand, but if not, but he is going to, and they know he's going to, but if not, that isn't why we're serving him. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. That's important to understand. Whether God delivers me or not, I'm going to do right. Are you there? I mean, is that where you are in your spiritual walk? Whether God takes care of your situation the way you think he ought to take care of it, are you going to be faithful or are you not? And that's what you have to decide. You have to decide that before you ever get into a situation where your faith is tried. If you wait until your faith is tried and you go into a situation with wavering faith, you have less of a chance of coming out on the other side victorious. If you go into every situation knowing that no matter what, God loves you, God cares, and you remember those two things, God loves you, God cares, then it doesn't matter the outcome. We may have some bad outcomes. I am very pleased that we have been so blessed. You look at COVID, very blessed. I mean, when I talked to that pastor and he said, I did 6 funerals 6 weeks in a row and 10 funerals overall with COVID. I was like, and it was Louisiana is where he's from. And I said, and I was at the pastor's conference in Pensacola. And I said, man, that's amazing. And I just thought of us. I thought, when you look at it, I do not believe that anybody got it from anybody within the church. Everybody that got it just got it in pockets. And by the way, if I had a show of hands, and I don't want to do this, how many of you got it? I think we're almost 100%. Almost 100%. I've had it twice. You know, Judy's had it once. You know. And I don't want to, I know some of the others had it. Some families decided to get it all together. So I look at the blessing of God and I just see it there. And but listen, I'm ready. Are you ready? Are you ready for a testing? Because, you know, we're seeing some visitors. But it's tough. Because, you know, we got an authority here. Everybody that comes in that door doesn't have the same authority. And not only do we have that, but we have an authority and certain beliefs that listen. Again, we're to be understanding. We're to give people an opportunity to grow. We're not to expect them to understand everything at one time. And I'm always shocked when I talk to people and I know certain things about doctrine and I'm like, you know, okay, well, I'm preaching this and they're back the next week. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. But sometimes they're not back. And you know what the preacher does? Oh man, what did I do? Oh, wouldn't it have been better if I just didn't have to say that? And you take it on yourself. And that's okay. I mean, you move on. But I mean, you just keep going. So anyway, you got settled faith there. Is your faith a settled faith? And then verse 18, for the same cause also do we joy and rejoice. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. Joy and rejoice with me. In Psalm 43:4. The Bible says, God is my exceeding joy. So I did this whole study on joy, like I was telling you, and read the chapters in our book. And then I just picked out that one verse in Psalm 43:4. And you ought to look it up. And I'm not going to take you there because it's your homework assignment. God, my exceeding joy. Boy, that ought to be what we can each say. Is God your exceeding joy? I want him to be mine. And you know why I've got a smile on my face most of the time? Because he's my exceeding joy. Is he yours? Is he ours? And if he is, and by the way, I just want to commend you on Sunday, the eating meeting and the ladies fellowship was great from what I understand. You know, you ladies had a, and I thank you for coming. I thank you for being faithful because it's important. I think we need to, you know, we're taking a little baby step here and we're ready. You know, in other words, the COVID thing absolutely knocked things off the track. Because I'll fess up, I had a friend of mine, I think I told you about him, I'm sure I have, Kenny Baldwin. He's a preacher up in Virginia. He got it in March of 2020. And he impacted me more than anything else because then I knew somebody that got it and was on death's doorstep. And I also saw what the media did to him. He went out of town. He came back. He tested. It was negative. He preached and then it spread through the church and he was deathly ill. But they gave him a false, and the media came in, raked him over the coals. I called up there and I talked to the media. I said, listen, you don't know him and you're wrong about him. And what you wrote needs to be retracted. And I wasn't the only one all over this country because Kenny Baldwin's well known. They didn't retract, as I told you, but they, you know, they did do another story. But I'll tell you, that affected me. It gave me a sense that, look, this is real. Because you don't know whether it's just a hoax. You know, I mean, they did use it to shut down all churches across America and tried to keep them shut down, let alone around the world. You don't know what this thing is, but you had to understand, yes, people are going to use it for evil, but it also was very real. And, you know, those are things you got to know. So I'll just tell you, the one thing that was the biggest concern, because they said, oh, you know, this church had services and three people in the choir died. I don't know if you remember all that. I do. Why? Because I don't want to say, hey, come to church to risk your life. Should you come to church and risk your life? Yeah. Get on the road and drive. It's pretty bad. But not because I'm telling you, you have to be here. That's why everything in my ministry is a personal relationship between you and the Lord. You figure out what God wants you to do and you make sure you do it. But don't expect me to be your Holy Ghost because I can't. Should you be in church when the doors are open? Sure, you should. Forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together is the manner of assemblies. But look, what if you got COVID? Stay home. What if you're sick and you don't know? You might have to stay home. You know, you got to know what God wants you to do. And you can't have the pastor controlling it for you. Right now, because I have earphones in, my phone is ringing in my ear. I mean, because I have hearing aids. And I can't just shut that down. I can actually push the button on the side and stop. But boy, I'll tell you what, I've got Mission Impossible as my ringtone. And I just heard, let's all stand together. I knew I should have finished up about 2 or 3 minutes ago. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for your many blessings, guide, lead, and direct in all things. Lord, I thank you for being such a gracious, merciful, and wonderful God. You are our everything in Jesus' name. With your head bowed and eyes closed, and just you do what God has led you to do. And you pray and you ask him to be faithful because he is, and you reciprocate to his faithfulness.